This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on infrastructure and network expansion of Indian Railways. The participants are Arunendra Kumar, ex-chairman, Railway Board, and Nishit Kumar, AIR correspondent.
There have been a slew of development work in the railways, especially over the past few years. Now, Vande Bharat series of superfast trains is one such big push. Just yesterday, our Honorable Prime Minister flagged off the Nagpur-Bilaspur Vande Bharat Express train. So how do you see this in serving the last man and also the last mile connectivity? And incidentally, this is the sixth Vande Bharat Express train which was flagged off yesterday.
Vande Bharat is a concept in train manufacturing. These coaches are specially designed and not interchangeable with any other design of coach, but only with Vande Bharat coaches. And the beauty of this design and these coaches is that the acceleration time and the braking time is much less, which means the train picks up speed much faster than the conventional trains which are hauled by a locomotive in front. Whereas in these trains, the coaches, except a few of them, are self-powered, which gives them this additional advantage. Of course, riding is better and the passenger experience, travel is better. So, if you remember in the mid-80s when Shatabdi started, this will take the place of all those trains for intercity metro travel.
Okay.
So, the night service, that means the sleeper service that the Honorable Minister announced, is likely to take about a year more. So, it will be daylight travel, early morning departures and late night arrivals back, with food service in between. And, of course, high speed and stoppages depending on the passenger originating requirements. So this is one thing which has come up. And second part of the whole thing is that the emphasis on the make in India. All over the world, the countries have imported these types of coaches from European manufacturers, Japanese, Chinese. But Indians have developed it ourselves. The first version had something to be made up, which has been done in the second version. And the third thing is that under the leadership of the Prime Minister, Mr. Modi, and of course, Rail Mantri, Ashwini Vaishnav, the production has been stepped up and all the hiccups have been sorted out. And the field people who are supposed to maintain it have also got into the act, because it's a new design. You cannot just use the old capabilities, old skills, and old infrastructure. You have to develop a new maintenance facility. The drivers have to be trained specially for this kind of train. So it looks as if you are starting as just a train, but it's a totally new train concept. And keep the inner railways running forward, because you are bringing new technology, and that gives you the inspiration and the confidence that you can do even much more.
So do we need some special tracks for these trains to run, or can we run it on the older system itself?
So the beauty of the whole thing is that you don't need a new track, even though the speed is more, because new tracks are coming for the National High Speed Rail Corporation, where the bullet train, so-called the bullet train, which will run over 300 kmph. So these trains, the Vande Bharat, good enough for up to 200, and we don't need any new track, no new investment. The tracks are already certified for around that speed, 180 plus or so. So on the existing track, without modification to platforms, without manufacturing to any signaling systems, you are just like putting BMW on the road, on the highways, and giving the passenger the benefit of the new technology.
Now, coming to the bullet train project is perhaps the most ambitious one so far as the railways is concerned. So how much ground have we covered, and can we see more such trains happening in the future?
Let's first understand the bullet train as such. The bullet train requirement is totally different. It has nothing in common with the existing railway infrastructure setup. The gauge is different, the technology is different, the signaling is different, and the stations, everything is different. And because we have 5 feet 6 inches, 1.676 meters gauge, this is standard gauge, which is 4 feet 9 and 3 quarter inches, which is the world over standard gauge. And as far as ground, we heard 98% of the land in Maharashtra has already been acquired, and Gujarat is already nearing 100%. The land issue has now been sorted out. The basic other works of construction of the tracking, that means the girders, the bridges, and all those, that they are already on. The tunnel thing below in the Mumbai area is going to take time because going below the sea for a long stretch is about two tunnels totaling about 27 kilometers is to come up, and that's not so simple. That will decide if the government decides to commission it in one go. That will be the critical path. The coaches or the train sets will be getting ordered, and that's more of an import from Japan and initial few coaches, and then assembling it in India. And of course, then maintaining them. Those depots are coming up. So timelines have been getting shifted because of the land, but now we should be hearing from the High Speed Corporation about the realistic timelines when they're going to do. Because one thing we must appreciate, that it is all Japanese technology which is being implanted in India. To give you a parallel example, we can just buy iPhone or Samsung phone from abroad and start using it. It's not so simple for high speed. You have to bring everything in India, try in Indian conditions, Indian atmosphere, Indian temperatures, with Indian passengers. The requirements are totally different. So it's a much bigger challenge, of course. The second question, you said the proliferation of such. Why not? The only thing is, of course, we heard of the very exorbitant costs. It started with about 1,08,000 crores, of which 82% was on loan, at a very good loan rates from Japan. The next, maybe a Japanese loan or maybe some other country's loan or consortium loan. But I suppose the government will take a call once they find that this thing is likely to be realistic, and then roll out the next project or projects in much fast mode. This is, we started in 2015 when the Prime Minister Modi signed the MOU with the Prime Minister Abe of Japan. And a lot of activity has happened since then because we were absolutely new to the whole concept. So once we see that this is likely to get through and it's happening, the call will be taken for the next project. And the baseline for land acquisition has already started in UP, where we hear from Delhi to Lucknow, Varanasi, Ayodhya, with a spur to Ayodhya from Lucknow. Mm-hmm. That has already been planned. The DPR has been done. Other DPRs, Nagpur, Mumbai, that also is under consideration. So the government is taking a very positive step with moving very great optimism to these new infrastructure projects of high speed. Because if you go from Delhi to Lucknow and it's 500 kilometers and less than 2 hours, who will go to the air?
True.
You don't have a check-in time. You don't have the problem of luggage. You can walk around.
Absolutely. And there is also a major push for redevelopment of selected railway stations and also certain sections of the railway route. For example, yesterday itself, our Honorable Prime Minister Modi ji announced the Ajni Railway Station Redevelopment Project, the Kohli Narkar section of Nagpur Itarsi Third Line Project. Likewise, the Honorable Railway Minister Ashwini Vaishnav ji announced a new train service, Kashi Tamil Sangamam Express, between Kashi and Tamil Nadu. He also inspected the redevelopment plan of Varanasi Junction Railway Station. So how far these projects, the new ones coming up, are going to help the railways chug ahead full steam?
Redevelopment of railway stations is the, let's say, a building comparison to a high-speed kind of situation in the on the transportation side. Stations will become mini-cities kind of thing. You have everything there, and this redevelopment will mean that transport movement to other cities is one part of the big show. And we talk of redevelopment of, let's say, New Delhi, such a huge project, or Mumbai. Now, Nagpur, we have seen it happening at Gandhinagar. We have seen it done happening at Habibganj at Bhopal, mm-hmm. and at Rajkot. All these three places which has taken, give some idea and some comfort to the railways that they can do these kind of projects. The initial hitch was the PPP mode, which had not yet taken off. So the government had decided to pump in the railway government funds. See that the confidence is built up in the private sector. Because when you engage a running situation, running entity like a railway station and try to modify it, it becomes a very big challenge. It becomes a double challenge. The Berlin station took 10 years to redevelop after whatever they had done design. They are talking of the construction site. So these are very big, like if you see in Connaught Place, if you want to transport so much of cement, take out of so much of debris from railway, New Delhi railway station, is impossible. It becomes really, really tedious to handle that kind of thing.
Right.
So you need a good amount of cooperation with the state government, which is a sine qua non for such big projects. You cannot leave it half-built.
True.
Since you start, you got to finish.
True.
Nagpur or Ajni, which you are just talking about, these were very congested areas. Nagpur station is pretty congested. That's why Ajni is being thought of. And maybe government would first build up Ajni give an alternative to Nagpur residents to pick up Ajni station for their choice of getting in, getting out, and then get some relief for Nagpur station to build it up. But these stations are going to come because just boarding a train is not a part of these redeveloped stations. This is one of the activities. The biggest restaurant for burgers in Paris, in the world, because there is a Paris railway station. So these kinds of things we will be hearing when we see the redeveloped stations. You see, Gandhinagar, a big hotel has come up. So you land at station, you do your job and go away. You just don't enter the city. Mm-hmm. So that kind of business concepts are going to take shape, and this will revolutionize the railway, the way people look at railways.
True.
Absolutely.
True, sir. And there is also a lot of curiosity about the launch of One Station, One Product scheme. We would like you to shed some light on the scheme and the benefits it would entail.
This scheme has got a very judicious mix of state intervention because the products have to be made by the state. The railway has to transport it. We have been doing it for so many years, but the government has given a great focus to it, like from fruits from central India to northeast, or let's say handicrafts from one center in, let's say, in UP, Agra to other places. So once you do that kind of focus, that means railway has designed its policies to pick up such items and send it to other places. Mm-hmm. So One Station, One Product not yet caught the fancy of the people who make it, but it is gradually growing up. Because the more we hear about this kind of scheme, now we hear one district, two kind of products. So this way it is growing up, and slowly it is attracting the manufacturers. And they feel that railway is a very reliable and cheap way of transporting such items with much less difficulty than and much cheaper rates than the other private couriers charge. So this is going to be another boom area at a grassroots level, which is very important. At the local level, where people will find that railway now coming in their domain and picking up their products and transporting them in the country.
Right, sir. So finally, the Indian Railways juggernaut, as we see, it marches ahead unabated. So there have been a tremendous all-round development. However, there still remain certain grey areas which require more effort. What, according to you, should be the emphasis area which requires some more push?
Yes. Still, we have done a lot of work on cleanliness. We have done a lot of work on catering. So these areas under the leadership of the Honorable Prime Minister Modi, it has done exceedingly well. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do is that still there are a large number of waiting lists. We take money from people for reservations and are not able to provide them a berth. That's a big, big challenge. And with the coming of the dedicated freight corridor, maybe this get reduced to a large extent. The moment we transfer freight trains to the DFC corridor, mm-hmm. that will mean in the western part of India and north and eastern part of India. But the moment you generate more capacity, you have more passenger trains. Any train, you book a train, you have waiting list. So, and the Tatkal you open, within a few minutes, Tatkal is over. Mm-hmm. So demand is huge and railways are not able to provide comfortable travel to people who are willing to pay. That's a very big challenge. That's why people are spilling over to other modes of transport or going in overcrowded trains. Unreserved passengers is another big challenge because a lot of people don't want reservations. They just want to go like that at the very last moment. Mm-hmm. How to take care of them, that's another very big thing. And the new lines construction in remote areas, that the government has taken up that challenge to connect the northeast, all the capitals, and they're moving very fast. Connectivity to Kashmir, that part, the project is also, I think, should see the light of the day in the next year, mm-hmm. getting to Srinagar from Delhi Strait. So these are very big challenges which will come, but all said and done, if you must provide a reservation, at least to maximum of people with minimum waiting list, that will be a very big thing to happen.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Kumar. Thank you for joining us and enlightening our listeners about the nitty-gritties and the intricacies of the Indian Railways. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on infrastructure and network expansion of Indian Railways. The participants were Arunendra Kumar, ex-chairman, Railway Board, and Nishit Kumar, AIR correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.